some glad morning when this life is o'er. I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Well, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from which the Mars has flown, I'm gonna fly away. Well, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. Just a few more days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy's never end. I'll fly away. Well, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'm gonna fly away. Come on now. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy should never end. I'll fly away. Well, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When by and by, I'll fly away. Give the Lord a hand clap, would you? You can be seated. Brother Turner's coming. And while he's coming, we have a brother, Matthew Vance, with us. He's the one that we get our literature from. I want him to stand. Brother Vance, we're glad to have you with us. He's going to have an exhibit out here. We appreciate him. We appreciate his literature. And we're just going to make him welcome. Give him a hand. Amen. He's got a table out here in the lobby, and he has material there, so you go by and check with him. Brother Turner's coming.
Praise the Lord. One of these days, we're going to fly away. Amen. Sooner than we realize, I just believe that. It is a... has always been an honor to be here, especially this year, and to just experience camp meeting in the presence of the Lord like it used to be. Amen. I'm like Brother Clark. I'm not looking for the next level. I just want to get on the level God's been on all this time. Amen. But it has been such an honor to be a part of this and appreciate the privilege. Appreciate Brother and Sister Shortridge for the invitation, for hosting us in their home. And thank you for taking care of us and for the fellowship, for the Lord just using you to help us and encourage us. And we deeply appreciate it. Amen. I have been blessed by the Word of God. I preach with a lot of different folks over the years, a lot of them. And if... that I have been with some that I just really endured what I heard. Amen. My wife came one time. I was in a meeting, and we I was preaching with a fellow, had done that 2 or 3 years. I was just so frustrated because he was going that way and I'm going this way. And she came and she said, you know, said I could have said everything he said in 10 minutes. It took him an hour of shake, rattle, and roll. There's nothing wrong with that if you're saying something while you're shaking and rattling and rolling. But I tell you, these men have fed my soul and have blessed me with the Word of God. I love preaching. This jealousy thing, you know, among preachers today is absolutely a stench in God's nostrils. I'm texting this week asking people to get online and hear these men, amen, all over, people that I know that need to be encouraged by the Word of the Lord. So I appreciate that, Brother Clark and Brother Jones. And remember, as you go out through tonight, the CDs and DVDs we have on the table, this would be a blessing to us if you take those. And we want you to continue to pray for our mission work around the world, that God would continue to help us. The House of Hope, China, South America, different places of the world that we are involved in. And we just hope that you'll remember us in prayer. Had somebody come up last night, never had met them before, but they said, I pray for you all the time. Well, I deeply appreciate prayer. Amen. Would you stand with me, turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. While you're praying today, I'm getting so absent-minded. I want to say it's overload. I hope that's all it is. But I went over yesterday trying to find a couple of dress shirts over at the mall, and I left my prescription sunglasses in the room there, and I need them bad. I had to drive with them or whatever, different things, and I left them. So when I went back, somebody, I'm sure, thought they were regular sunglasses and decided they needed them more than me. But when they put them on, they're going to realize it'll help them none at all. But you pray that the Lord would get a hold of them, and they'll turn them back in, because I need them to do that, sure do. So you pray. I just believe God can do that, and believe that he wants to do things like that for us. Exodus chapter 12, starting with verse number 1, have several verses of scripture here, and I again appreciate Brother Shortridge inviting me share the Word of God with you this morning. I want to say my goodbyes at this time, and I'm just blessed. I'm leaving here a blessed man today for having been in this meeting, and just the fellowship, the worship, the Spirit of God. Oh, I would to God you could just find it like that everywhere, don't you? And we do appreciate everything. Exodus chapter 12, starting with verse number 1. I got a lot of stuff to say this morning, and I just hope you'll help me. We're going to kind of go on a journey, and when we get to the end, I hope we're better Christians for it. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year. Speak ye unto all the congregations of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the 2 side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall eat, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, and with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. When I see the blood. Will you pray for me this morning? Father, as I stand here again to confess, as always, to the people and to you, I have no talent. I have no ability to say or do anything that would affect people. I look to you as my source for that fresh oil, fresh unction, fresh anointing. But I also pray that you would anoint the people, their ears to hear, their hearts to receive the word. And anoint us this morning with liberty, O God, in this house. And I'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Shake hands with somebody. Just sit down and say, I'm going to help him preach this morning. I got a lot of scripture here, a lot of things to share with you. But I read an article in the U.S. News, or the USA Today, I think it was, about religion and the need to basically water down Christianity, they say, by getting rid of divisive beliefs like homosexuality is a sin, divisive beliefs that say that the blood of Jesus has power alone to cleanse mankind from sin, that we need to get rid of that there's other ways to God, and that, you know, and why should they not, the secular world? Because Mr. Graham said the same thing, that there are other ways to God. It was Mr. Bush Jr. as president made the same statement, that there were different paths to God. His just happened to be Christianity. So they said, if we'll just do that, if we'll just, I tell you, it caused my blood to boil, you know, and I wanted to shout out when I read that, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And they said, if we'll just do that, that we can all get along and that Christianity would be more palatable to more people. But you know, Christianity without the blood would be just another dead religion like Buddhism or Islam or Hinduism. It would just be another man's centered religion. It would just be a non-life-changing religion like they are. It was my old mentor that said that Christianity is the only religion in the world that can make the claim we can make bad men good. Can you say praise the Lord? But when it comes to blood, now, I've been preaching 32 years. I've preached about the blood in messages and talked about the blood and sang about the blood, but never just to do a study on the blood. And this morning we call this Bible study. This is a great time as ever to close with this, but the blood of a human is such a mysterious thing that now, even now, medical researchers are not even beginning, I don't think, to fathom, you know, all there is to know about it. But in the very beginning, God made it clear to his people how special, how unique, and how valuable the blood was in Leviticus 17 and 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off among the people. Verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Amen. And I have given it unto you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Hallelujah to God. Now some even believe that in the scripture, when it said that God breathed into Adam the breath of life, some of the old scholars believe that it was talking about the blood, because life is in the blood. Well, I'm not so sure about that. I always believed and preached that when he breathed the breath of life, it was the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, because I don't believe that God breathes oxygen like we do, and that made Adam a living soul. But nevertheless, it did show the importance that the old scholars placed upon the blood. You know, man or woman ever dies until that blood ceases to circulate in the body. And it points to a deeper spiritual truth that the church of Jesus Christ, we are the members of his body, and that these members are all related by the blood of Christ. Can you say amen? If you're Assembly of God or Church of God or Independent or Foursquare or whatever you are, if you've been born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, we're all a part of the body of Christ. Revelation 5 and 9, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now, these members of the body may be as far removed as the Bushman of Africa, as the Eskimo in the far north. You know, their skin color may vary from red, yellow, black, and white. And their culture, their background, their status of wealth may be so varied. But one thing that makes them one is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives that member line. Now, the same goes for all humans upon the earth that are in sin. They're all related by the blood of Adam, Acts 17:26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. So all humans, therefore, carry the sentence of death because of Adam's sin, and that's the reason all die a common death with no exception. Sin poisoned the blood. Do you hear what I'm saying? I said, sin poisoned the blood. That's the reason when I hear silly preachers and they talk about, you know, that as sin, as if it was very insignificant anymore and not to be dealt with. I'm telling you, sin is a killer. Can you say amen? So that one man's sin, now all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the virgin birth was an absolute necessity because Jesus had to be a son of Adam, but also a son of God. Hallelujah. You know, for this reason, Jesus could partake of Adam's flesh, which was not inherently sinful, but he could not partake of Adam's blood, which was completely sinful. That's the reason the devil started the rumor back, that Jesus was the son of an illegitimate union between Mary and a Roman soldier, because he knew that if he can dilute the truth that, you know, Jesus would have been no different than anybody else. But I can tell you, he was different. I said he was different. So God provided a way for Jesus to be born of a woman, not man, but that he could be a perfect human being. His blood was incorruptible. So when he lay in the day grave 3 days, he did not decompose. His body did not begin to deteriorate. He did not see corruption. They couldn't kill him because he said, no man can take my life. I give it freely. Amen. For the blood, you see, the blood, it's an interesting thing, is passed on by the father and not the mother. So during pregnancy, the baby does not receive any of the blood of the mother, but from the father. Luke 1:35. And the angel said unto her, talking about Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Can you say amen? Not the son of Joseph, but the Son of God. I believe that when God made woman in the very beginning and created her reproductive organs, that God had a plan from the beginning. Amen. Because about this life and about the Son of God. Say, what do you mean, preacher? Because Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain from before the foundations of the world. So because he had not one drop of Adam's blood in his veins, he did not share in Adam's sin. Now, you know, when I was reading about the blood, I don't have a medical mind, but when I was reading about the blood, I found some interesting things. Now, I hope I pronounced this right. I wanted to get with somebody beforehand because I don't want to show my ignorance too much, but this is the best way. The erythrocytes, I hope that's close. Now, these are red cells that carry oxygen to cells of the body to fuel it. Now, the blood through these bring that life-giving oxygen that that pick up the waste products of the tissues of the body, the garbage of the human body, and like carbon dioxide and so forth. And it discharges these through the kidneys, the skin, the bowels, the lungs. And then these cells refill themselves with oxygen. Brother Clendenin was with the word heroin. He never could hit it right. Now I can't hardly hit that one right. And it repeats the entire cycle again. And it takes about 23 seconds to make the entire trip around the body. It's an amazing thing. The food is carried to the tissues by the blood. And the same cell that carries that food picks up the trash, the garbage, and carries it out without any contamination whatsoever. So wonderfully our Creator made the body. Can you say amen? I'm so glad we didn't come out of sludge 10 million years ago. But just like the blood in the body, so is Christ's blood to the members. His blood gets to every member with that life-giving flow. It carries out the waste and the poisons of sin that come against our bodies, our spiritual beings constantly. In 1 John 1 and 7, but if you walk in the light as He is in the light, and you have fellowship one with another, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then you have the leukocytes. These are the white blood cells that they're like a standing army that of the bloodstream. And when an infection occurs anywhere in the body then is attacked by an enemy, an army of germs that news has flashed back. Where these blood cells, particular blood cells, are made. And so they begin to multiply rapidly. And immediately, as the blood turns up production and rushes these army of white blood cells to the place of infection, and they begin to kill those germs or whatever it is and ingest them. And then pus is created, which means the body is killing out and expelling all the infection and the germs. And when these germs and dead soldiers that gave their life to the cleansing of that infection are expelled, then the blood sends them in to clean up the mess, create new tissue, and all is healed except maybe a scar remains. And you know, it's interesting that the blood of Jesus not only heals us from the result of sin, but attacks sickness and disease in our body as well. In Psalm 103, 2 and 3 said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," and said, "Forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases." The blood that poured out of the body in the stripes of the Lamb of God secured not only eternal life, but secured divine healing for us as well. For He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. You know, many years ago, I heard the story of a little Nazarene girl saved and sanctified and loved Jesus. She was just a young child. And she, at that particular time, tuberculosis was raging. And she contracted tuberculosis, and according to the x-rays, she had one lung eaten away, and half of the other lung was gone. And she was at home under one of those oxygen tents that they used to have put over the bed. And she's given up to die, and she has a short time, but little frail arm, she's laying there with her Bible there under the tent, reading her Bible. And she's reading 1 Peter 2 and 24. And as she reads that part, it said, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live under righteousness." She laid down her Bible, and she raised those little frail arms up and under that tent. And oh, she was a crying and a praising the Lord for saving her soul, for dying for her sins on Calvary. And after she did that, she picked her Bible back up and read the rest of the verse. And the rest of the verse said, "By whose stripes ye were healed." Hallelujah. My God, she threw her Bible down and come out from under the tent and went downstairs. And when her mama saw her, she said, "Honey, get back up there. Get under that tent." She said, "No, mama," said, "you don't understand. I've been healed. By His stripes I've been healed.
healed. She said, oh, no, honey, you're delirious. Oh, I've been healed. Oh, listen, she said, in fact, I'm hungry. I want you to fix me some breakfast. She hadn't eaten in days. They took her to the hospital. The doctor did an x-ray, and where her lung was gone, the other one half eaten away, she had two brand new lungs in her body. Can somebody say amen? There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, the cruelty of the result of sin in a garden called paradise 6,000 years ago. And one sinful act brought the damning curse of the second death upon man and his bloodline till the present day. If you look at history and the carnage of sin that brought wars and plagues and disease and misery and death and all of these evils that foolish men lay at the feet of God, because God says, I'm all-knowing, all-powerful, and we say the same thing about God. So their accusation is, if God is so powerful and great, why don't he stop sin? Why don't he deal with the travesties of life and the evils of life? And I said, well, my answer is he will, but actually he would stop it right now. Or at least he's given man the ability to stop it himself. Amen. All these things could be ceased right now before the day of judgment if man would just repent and turn to the flow that washes white as snow. If man kind would bow before the fountain of the Lamb of God, all that would stop. Say amen, somebody. But we live in a dark world, a nation with drugs and alcohol and perversion and murder and abuse. The government spent billions and billions of dollars trying to eradicate and stop the flow, but the tide just keeps coming further and further in, and it doesn't have any answers at all. And I can tell you, compromising churches don't have the answer, and dead conservatives religion, if it's dead, don't have it either. Say amen. Because the answer is life, and life is in the blood. Hallelujah to God. You can't educate men out of sin. You can't rehabilitate them to be better people, because sin is sin. And I told somebody the other day that the modern preaching is this: trying to make the old man a better person. That's what 99% of television preaching is all about. That's what 99% of mega church preaching is all about, just trying to make that old man a better person. He can't become better. He's got to die. I said he has to die. Say amen, somebody. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish. Somebody say amen. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Glory. When the Israelites were awaiting deliverance from Egypt, God was about to give them one of the great types and shadows of the ultimate blood sacrifice. Well, that world hates that blood, don't they? They call it a bloody religion. I tell you, I'm glad I found a bloody religion. Brother Clark last night said, who's proud to be Pentecostal? Man, I tell you, I'm as happy, amen, as a pig in a trough. Thank God. I thank God I'm Pentecostal. I tell you what else I'm proud of and thank God for, that I was raised up in a bloody religion. It didn't save me till I wanted to get it for myself, but I'm glad I wasn't deceived. I thank God they used to sing about the blood. They used to testify about the blood. They used to preach about the blood. Can somebody say amen? I've never been ashamed of the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were prepared to prepare a spotless lamb for their families. God gave them precise instructions on how to do it, to eat its body, which was a type and shadow of Christ's body offered for us. Because when they left Egypt, the Bible said there's not one feeble person among their tribes. Then they were to take and apply that blood to the lintels of the doorpost and stay in that house and not come past that door, that blood, no matter what they heard on the outside. And God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now, not when I see your goodness, not when I see your holiness, when I see the blood. Not when I see your good works, your good morals. It was the Spirit the other night that said in the message that don't rely and don't trust in your own righteousness. Amen, somebody. They weren't good or holy or moral, and they sure were not worthy of God's mercy. They were a rebellious, sinful people who backslid every 30 days after seeing the mighty miracle-working power of God Almighty. Now listen, I believe in holiness. I believe in righteousness. But I also know the only way I'm holy is by the blood of the Lamb of God Almighty. Can you say amen? I've heard people brag. Oh, they brag about. Listen, I've been raised up in this. I'm telling you, I know. Brag about how holy they are. Amen. And I'm telling you, I knew they weren't holy. I said, I knew they weren't holy. I don't even want to hear that. I know too much about churches, too much about denominations. Too much. They say we got a holy fellowship. I know too much about people, too much about preachers. I've watched the self-exalting kind of holiness, and it sickens me because I know only through the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Years ago, it's been several years ago, our children were small. I was out preaching, but they had a revival, a preacher, evangelist come to the home church. He hated all denominations. He despised everything but what he was. And oh, he said he was holiness. And you know, he got his wife up one night and had her to turn around there and said, this is a holy woman. Well, I was there. And I said, yeah, and she may be the biggest gossiper in town. She may have adultery in her heart. But that same holy fella, amen, that all he constantly, what every time my wife would come through the door, his old lustful eyes would follow her down the aisle. Do you hear what I'm saying? Help me preach, somebody. I've seen just about all of it. I believe in separation. I believe in looking like a Christian. But he didn't say that. He said, when I see the blood of the Lamb, because you're nothing and I'm nothing without the blood. You're not holy. I'm not holy. Your old shouting grandma wasn't holy without the blood of the Son of the living God. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I've watched them run around like they were worthy of God's forgiveness and worthy of eternal life. I'm going to hang on to this for a while, if that's all right. I don't know about you, but I do know one thing, that you and I both were human trash heaps before God found us and we came in contact with the blood. I know one thing, folks. I've listened to them stand up in their lofty perches called pulpits and crow about having a clean church and how holy they were. But I want to tell you, better be careful when you think you stand lest you fall. You better not take comfort in your own righteousness. But then I've watched those same fellas stripped like Samson of old when a temptation bigger than their own righteousness comes around walking by with its little flirty eyes, they fall like a house of cards. Help me preach. And then you realize you're not so holy, you're not so righteous. What do you do, preacher, when Delilah comes by? What do you do when Potiphar's wife comes along? I plead the blood. Dear lady friend, I want to tell you, you're being bombarded by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And don't think for a moment you're exempt because you're sanctified and a member of the First Holiness Church of the Separated. If you don't put your faith and trust in the shed blood of the Lamb of God, you're in trouble as well. For the Lamb is worthy. He hath redeemed us unto God and not we ourselves. Nearly 34 years ago, I didn't just turn over a new leaf and get the do-betters. I'm telling you, I have been redeemed. Can you say amen? My mother used to leave the choir at home. A song says, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Oh, to him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Oh. The blood was not just from any lamb. We've determined from Scripture the Lamb was sinless, Son of God, whose blood was not corrupted by Adam's. Now, don't go off anybody and say that I've made a lot of separation or wholeness. I haven't done that in 32 years of preaching or never will. I believe in it this morning. I just know why I'm holy. Say amen. It was corrupted by Adam, passed down from generation to generation. But it's not just the shedding of blood, because we know without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. But it was the acceptance of that blood, that sinless blood, that met the demands, the just demands of a holy God. In the Old Testament, God gave Moses specific plans to build and furnish an earthly tabernacle. In that tabernacle were several items, one being the mercy seat over the Ark of the Covenant. The mercy seat was called the propitiatory cover. It covered the Ark, which contained the law of God, or I should say the broken law of God. But Moses built that furniture, the mercy seat. Then there was the holy place, then beyond the veil, the holiest of all. Now God said to Moses in Exodus 25 and 22, "And there I will meet with thee, I will commune with thee above the mercy seat, the propitiatory cover." Now Christ is that mercy seat. In Exodus 25, 22, "And there I will meet with thee, I will commune with thee." But in Romans 3:25, "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." So we can see the Ark with the broken law of God in it, demanding justice, which is death. "For the soul that sinneth, it shall die." Then there's that mercy seat, which the high priest went in once a year to the Holy of Holies, and not without blood. And after having been sanctified, the high priest, with blood on his right ear, on his right thumb, and blood on his right big toe, Christ suffered without the gate. He sprinkled that blood on that altar, that mercy seat. So here's that ark, the broken law, and the mercy seat with the blood which Christ was. Then above that mercy seat with the Lamb of God, whose blood was offered and shed, with that blood. Now I believe this, you believe what you want. I believe that Jesus, that blood ran down from that crown of thorns and touched his right ear. I believe that blood ran out of his hands where that nail print was into his right thumb. And I believe that that blood ran down and touched his right big toe, hallelujah, because he's now entering into a role vacated by Caiaphas. In Mark 14:63, "Then the high priest rent his clothes." Now some say that when a high priest, if he rent his clothes, he was passing, giving up the priesthood over to another. Little did he realize how true that was. Amen. Not as one standing before him, the great high priest, not of the tribe of Levi, but of the tribe of Judah. You see, Jesus wasn't going to be going in and out of the Holy of Holies like the priest did. There was no chair in the Holy of Holies because the priest couldn't sit down. His work was never finished. He did it till he died. Then somebody else did it till they died. And they're always going in with blood. But that's not the way it's going to be now. Things are going to change. Say amen. The blood of goats and bulls couldn't pay the eternal penalty. Now God is above the mercy seat that has blood on it from unblemished sacrificial lamb. And God looks down at that ark with the broken law that demands justice, and he sees them the mercy seat, which is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. The penalty of sin is met with mercy, with God dwelling with the mercy seat always between him and the broken law and sin. I want to tell you this morning, I was that broken law of sin. I was a low-life drug addict and a drug pusher. No human ever more vile. No human any more wicked who ever lived. But one day God's holiness demanded my life. But oh, thank God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world laid down on the cross with that blood running down and touching his right ear and his right thumb and his right big toe. Say amen. And when he cried, it that's finished. Thank God he was bearing the sins of all humanity, even mine. Now God the Father could not look at the broken law of sin. Amen. So he had to turn his face from him. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Help me preach, somebody. But when he gave up the ghost, I don't know when he got there. I don't know when he did it. But thank God he did. He went into that city. Help me preach, somebody. He comes into that holy city. I don't know exactly how, but I'm going to preach it the way I believe it. He walks in, every eye is on him. And when he comes up, now the Father cannot look at the broken law of sin and death. I can hear him say, Father, he said, the blood of a spotless lamb who I am has been shed and has been applied. Somebody help me preach. And sprinkled on the mercy seat. Hallelujah. The demands have been met. The penalty has been forever paid. Father, look at my head. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Look at my side, where there's been a, oh, where there's been a well opened up in the house of David. Help me preach, somebody. Now, Father, when you look at Darrell Turner, you don't have to see the broken law of sin. You don't see a drug addict. You don't see a vile man. Help me preach, somebody. But thank God you see the blood. For by the cross, I have reconciled him. I have made him worthy. Hallelujah to the Almighty. I can see him sat down at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for us. I don't believe that means he's just sitting there praying under his breath all the time. He may pray, I guess he does. But I also believe it means this. He's making intercession, because if Darrell Turner ever fails, if Darrell Turner, God forbid, were to sin, if the devil falsely accuses me before God, I can see Jesus saying, look at my hands, look at my feet, look at my side. Oh my God, somebody help me this morning. And now when Darrell Turner wants to come into the Holy of Holies, I don't have to stand on the outside trying to get a glimpse in on the inside. I walk boldly. I said, I walk boldly in, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Because God said, I'll meet you there. And when he looks at me, when I come into his presence, and he looks toward the broken law, but now the broken law is gone. The stains are gone. The sin is gone. But can't you hear the devil? Look at him, God. He's nothing. He ain't perfect. He ain't holy. He look at him, God. Look at him. Look at him. And Father looks toward me and says, I don't see anything but the blood. Hallelujah. Because I'm covered by the blood. Can you say, man? I'll stand up, dear redeemed ones, this morning and raise your hand to heaven, because the demand's been paid, the penalty's been met, because such were some of you, but this morning you've been sanctified, you've been washed, you've been justified. The blood, the blood, the blood will never lose its power. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, praise him. Come on, praise him. No other religion, no other God, no other so-called deity, no, 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 can say that we're washed in the blood. We've been covered by the blood. Accuse me all you want to, devil. Point your finger at me. Make accusations all you will. I take comfort this morning. The blood. I said the blood. Come on, help me preach, folks. The older I get, the less confidence I have in my own righteousness. The less confidence I have in my own holiness. I'm telling you, I'm leaning on the blood more than I've ever leaned on it in my life. Say amen, somebody. They help me preach, folks. I'm telling you, for nearly 34 years, the only way I'm standing before you this morning, I could not resist temptation within myself. I could not get up every day and serve a holy God within myself. But I'm empowered, I'm enabled by the blood. Church of the Living God, praise Him this morning. Come on, praise Him this morning. Come on, praise Him. Come on, take just a moment. I can't believe I finished so soon. Hallelujah, praise Him. Oh my God, you can rejoice about the blood. You can take comfort because of the blood this morning. Praise Him because of the blood this morning. One more time across this altar, raise your hands toward heaven. Thank God as they sing this song. I want you to just give Him honor for the blood.
The blood of Jesus shed for me. Way back.
Come, you need a healing in your body. You got a problem, you need to be solved. Jesus is a problem solver. He's a healer. He's a miracle worker. Come on now. Come on down. Just lift up your hands. The blood is flowing around here today. It's like a mighty river. Just reach out and touch God. Reach out and touch Him right now. God knows your need. The miracle of God is upon you. You can know it in reality. Just reach out.
See the blood when I
nothing but the cross. We don't have anything to brag about. It's because of him. And if he's with you, he'll make a difference in your life. He'll separate you by his glory. Amen. Hang around here a few more minutes and we'll have another message. Take about 20 minutes. Don't leave. You'll miss something good. Amen. God bless you. Just have a